With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia, and he's done it! Number! There's the reply! Barry Pahar's history made!
It's James Beattie. Oh, belter!
Barry Pahar!
Pass lifts it, and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Middleton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush, and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcast on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number. This is episode 189, proud to be a part of the Sports Social Network. Today, we shall go over the Nottingham Forest game from Monday night, a night which has, for all intents and purposes, sealed our fate to the Championship, 8 points adrift with only 9 to play for. We'll go over that game and prepare for the return to St Mary's as we face Fulham. We also have the player and goal of the month to award for April, like it matters. But with me once again is the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Kevin, say hi.
Hi.
Oh, I was going to say, it's quite a somber mood here for us today. But you seem pretty high-spirited.
Yeah, it must be after my wonderful trip to Liverpool to soak in the atmosphere of Eurovision, because we need some sort of celebratory carnival atmosphere, don't we?
Yes, I suppose we do, yeah.
Certainly not getting in Southampton.
No. As I say, yeah, it's quite a somber mood. Well, it's supposed to be a somber mood, but I mean, we all knew this was coming, though, didn't we? So I guess that makes it easier.
Well, this was the fourth of the four must-win games that I earmarked. Ruben Sayers was appointed manager. And I said that we needed to win 3 of them, and we've now won none of them. Going to this match, we'd also won none of them. So, in my opinion, we're mathematically down already. realistically, mathematically down anyway. We're all but arithmetically down now, aren't we? We're just one point short. So hopefully we can have our fate sealed against Fulham.
Yeah, I just want it over and done with now, don't we, really? Yeah. I'm preparing this show, Kev, for the championship and everything that follows. It is all done. We're accepting it now. And I said to you a couple of weeks ago, that Bournemouth game, that was the line in the sand. If we didn't beat Bournemouth, then you know, that was it. That was it. We didn't beat Bournemouth. We didn't beat Newcastle. And we got ourselves in this position. And here we are.
Yeah, it's just a mercy killing from now on, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but again, like I said, when I say it makes it, it does make it quite easy because we know it's been coming for a while. It's not as if it's been, you know, one game. What if we win, we stay up. If we lose, we go down. It's like it's been a slow drag, hasn't it, into this? And as I said, I was on that Nottingham Forest podcast, and I said I've gone through the stages of grief, and I keep going backwards and forwards through them all, really, to be honest. And I guess, you know, the anger is still there. I went back to the bargaining stage at some point today as well, and I was like, oh, maybe James Ward-Prowse will stay. maybe he'll go out on loan for a year, and then we can take him back. I mean, if we don't get to the Premier League, then maybe he'll leave permanently, but maybe we could loan him out for a year. I'm doing all this, but at the heart of it all, Kev, is acceptance. I know it's happened, and I am preparing my away games next year already, like Plymouth and Sunderland, if they don't get up to the Premier League. But it's all done for me.
Yeah, we're preparing a nice cup of tea by the sounds of it as well.
Sorry, no, I'm having a coffee, but I've got this new coffee, and it's kind of like leads a bit of a sludge in the bottom of the cup, so I have to keep the spoon in it. So I have to keep constantly stirring it. It's a lovely coffee, but it's it leaves a sludge, so I'm constantly stirring it. So if you do hear that, I apologise.
What is it? I'm fascinated.
It's a Costa barista style coffee. It's nothing special. But, but yeah, it's what I need, considering I've had 3 hours sleep and then I've had to prepare for the show. So
yeah, absolutely. And
with that in mind, you know I get no sleep. You know I prepare for this constantly. So if you're enjoying the show and you appreciate the work that we both do, then please consider sharing your support. Keeping me in the coffee. Buy me a coffee. buymeacoffee.com/innumber. Buy us a coffee. Buy us a pint. Like I said before, we bloody well need it after the season we've had. And also, Kevin, is it now time that we can tell everyone about our partnership that we've just signed?
Yeah, we can do the grand unveiling.
Okay. So, we've recently struck up a partnership, collaboration with a company called Big Bobble Hats. And if you're unaware, they, as the name suggests, they are a bobble hat company based in Scotland. Whereabouts in Scotland are they based, Kev?
East Kilbride.
And where's East Kilbride, if you don't know?
Just outside Glasgow, isn't
just it? Outside. It's south, isn't it? It's quite near the border, actually. I was quite surprised. I mean, yeah. Kev McGee would probably be able to tell us that. They offer over 100 varieties of bubble hats. They also sell bucket hats, beanies, baseball caps, and they even do clothing as well now. So please go check them out at bigbubblehats.co.uk. Please make sure you put double B and not double O in that, because you will be searching for something completely different. and we've also be running a competition in the coming days. So watch this space. Kev, that'll be up on Twitter at the end of the week, I believe.
Yeah, we'll have a competition. So make sure you're subscribed to our Twitter and give us a retweet and tag a friend.
Excellent. Okay, another day, another show where we've had to discuss another loss, and a 4-3 loss at the City Ground, a double from that man, Taiwo Awoniyi. Morgan Gibbs-White from the spot, and Danilo round off the Forest scoring. Carlos Alcaraz, he's got his fourth goal for us now. He's starting to score quite regularly now, as regular as we do anyway. Lianco scored with a header, and James Ward-Prowse from the spot deep into injury time. And do you know what, Kevin? As that penalty rippled the net, my first thought was, is that the last time we ever see Ward-Prowse score for us?
Maybe, maybe not. I think it's got one more in this season.
It'd be nice if it was a free kick, though, wouldn't it?
It would. It did break that record in the Southampton show.
Well, it would equal the record, wouldn't it? Yeah. It's not just that, though, because I'm seeing all these players, you know, important players for us over the last few years, or at least since we've started doing the show. Like Kai Walker-Peters, James Ward-Prowse, Che Adams, these are all probably the last times we'll see them in a Saints shirt. And we know that Roman Perreault is more than likely to leave, and he's out for the season. So the last time we saw him, he was being taken off injured in the rain-drenched defeat to Bournemouth. So yeah, this is it's sad that all these players probably we're not going to get to see them again.
Maybe that injury might just help us keep him here.
I bloody hope so.
Same to you, know.
I do hope that Roman Perreault can stay, because I think he's one of the most underrated players, especially in our team. And yeah, I like his
passing ability. Superb.
But I do want to say that, you know, good times are around the corner, and we've been there before. We've been relegated, and we've been in League One, haven't we, with a point deduction. We've had financial struggles, and we didn't see a way back, but you know, there is. I feel like we're in a better position now, and we have to believe that things will be better for the future of this club. And whatever happens, you know, this is our club. You know, I'm still going to go and support them. You know, I'm still going to get my season ticket. Next season's going to be, you know, just the same. And I know you will too, Kev.
It's just, it won't be Spurs at home on Boxing Day. So,
no, it'll be Plymouth.
Be nice for different.
Should we get into some ideas?
Right.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, ITN News then. Kevin, let's talk about a rebuild, shall we?
You're doing an extension on your house? Or?
If only, yeah. So we have to try and take a positive outlook on this relegation. And it's a start. It's a new start. We can, you know, move on with this. And we're such a bad place at the moment on the field, you know, and off the field, you know, coaching wise, you know, manager, players heading out, obviously new ones will be coming in. But I mean, how do you prepare for the Championship? Because we have to take a look at what Burnley do and use them as a blueprint, or at least try to follow that mould, because they did it so well. But there are some similarities with it, Kev, that I've been looking at. And when they were relegated, Burnley only kept like seven players, only seven, right? Something that we're going to have to do as well, because all our big names are likely to move. They also had a new manager, Vincent Kompany, came in. Something, again, we are also going to need. And how many players did we sign this season, Kev? Just remind 15. Me. 15.
16.
16. Okay, Burnley also had 16.
Wow. The season they went down?
No. This season. Sorry, the season that they went back up. They've made 16 changes this season, right? And something we've mentioned on numerous occasions before, that the squad is too bloated. So we could cash in on some of those flops and, you know, some of the key players, as we mentioned, bring in some more experience. And I do think we can give it a good go. But we have to hope that Sport Republic make the correct decisions in hiring a new manager, because, you know, their track record on that front isn't exactly glowing, is it?
No, I was thinking about this last night. I was thinking that you know, now that we're relegated and we're not going to offer him an insulting deal, maybe it's time to go back to Jesse Marsh and say, look, we didn't leave on the best of terms, but we want to give you the time to build a project here at Southampton and get us back within a season or two. Is it something that he'd be interested in? I don't think that taking a team from the Championship to the Premier League is a project that he wouldn't be interested in. I don't believe that.
No, but we also have to consider that if we do want to go down that route, we have to make that decision quickly, because there are going to be a number of suitors for him, and he's going to want to leave it as late as he possibly can to make sure he's making up his mind and doing what's best for him. Because, I mean, we don't know about Everton yet, do we? Sean Dyche, it'd probably stay, wouldn't he, Sean Dyche, in the Championship?
Yeah.
And I do think that anybody that's looking for a manager that's in a decent position, Jesse Marsh would be top on most people's lists at the moment. I don't think he'll go back to Leeds. But you never know. And I do think we have to make that decision. If they want him, they have to do it quickly, because he's not going to be on the table for long.
What are they going to do to him on that table?
So departures-wise, Kev, by my count, okay, should be probably six key players leaving, and that's James Ward-Prowse, Skywalker Peters, Armel Belakotchap, Romeo Lavia, Che Adams and Mohamed Salisu, right? That's six. You can add other players like Roman Perreault, Mohamed Elianoussi, Theo Walcott, Mislav Orsic, Willy Caballero. That makes it 11. Is that right? Yeah. And Ainsley Maitland-Niles. That makes it 12. And we don't yet know what's happening with Chaleta Sarr, Aribo, Diallo. Okay, but let's just say for argument's sake that they will move. I make that 15 players leaving in the summer.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a lot, and it's a lot. It's a big core there, isn't it? But the ones I think will stay, and we need to try and get them to stay. Well, Charlie Alcaraz, he supposedly said he's settled and he doesn't want this move just now, which is great. We've got Tino. Jan Bednarik, we need to try and convince to stay. Sulemana, yeah. Onuachu, and the Armstrongs. So basically, we need to build around that core. Does that fill you with confidence?
I don't know. I think most of them are players that need to prove themselves somewhere. And if they can't prove themselves in the championship, well, then we really are fucked, aren't we?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Alcaraz, Tino, and Bednarik have proved themselves in the Premier League.
Yeah. I would
cheer as well.
Yeah, but even Jay Adams, I think if we can hold on to what we've got, we've got a lot of forwards that are just still waiting for their chance to prove themselves. Onuachu, Mara,
Jay Adams still is.
Jay Adams still, yeah, and Adam Armstrong. So yeah, those four. I don't know. I think I can see us keeping them.
I didn't even mention Mara. Yeah, again, another one that I just completely forgot. But assuming that all that's correct, I mean, how many more players are we going to need to bring in as well? Keeping in mind that we don't want or need a squad as big as we've had this season. And also, we don't know how much money Sport Republic are going to fork out again, because they have spent a lot of money. It might just be purely lining their pockets with those key players leaving and bring in replacement for cut prices again. Or God forbid they go and attack Arsenal's academy or something for 18-year-olds this year.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? If we let the big player, big money deals like Kyle Walker-Peters and James Ward-Prowse go, say we get like 60 million for the pair of them, and then we go out and buy 18-year-olds for next to nothing.
Another 16 players.
Yeah. Can you imagine that?
It's easy to imagine because it's just happened this season, but that would be ridiculous. I think we need to take time for the players that we've got to gel and to find the system that works and get the machine working. There's just too many new parts in this machine. That's why it's fallen apart.
Do you think they're even working on their plan for next season, or do you think they're going to wait until it's mathematically impossible?
No, they have to be. To be honest, I think they were planning in the January transfer window.
Yeah, secretly, yeah. We also need to give Dom Ballard a push, right? Because he's ready to be released. I mean, released onto the pitch, not out the door, obviously.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity for him. But even with the clear out, there's going to be a huge competition for those forward roles.
Midfield ones as well, because we also have to consider, Nathan Teller and Will Smallbone, who have both been good at championship level this season. So with them back in the team, and we know that Teller's had a fantastic season, so he could be absolutely vital to our push next season. Yeah. And also, I've not even mentioned the goalkeepers yet, because there's talks of cutting our losses with Bazunu.
Wow, again, we destroyed another young, promising goalkeeper.
It's sad, isn't it? Really, really sad that all these promising goalkeepers that are coming in and we just can't... just not giving them the tools to succeed and throwing them in the deep end. I mean... I think Tim said it a while back, or even when we signed him, it was like, we signed Bazunu, we got a good deal for him. He's young, he's up and coming, he's already Ireland's number one, or he was at that point. Why not send him out on loan like they did with Matthias Liss? And it was not as if we couldn't have had Alex McCarthy. It would have done him the world of good, and, we could have had him back in the championship straight away, fresh as a daisy. But,
Yeah.
Now we've just kind of said no. We want that. I don't even know who it was they were going for. Some Turkish goalkeeper, I believe.
We're destroyers of keepers.
Yeah.
It's like Frank Williams
destroys young Formula One drivers. Saints destroy keepers.
Yeah, but the second chances they get aren't as good. Yeah, I think it'd be a real statement of intent. I mean, the biggest statement of intent would be to convince Prowsey to stay, and then we can be quite confident that we'll have a good chance of coming back straight away. Other players, like if we manage to keep Lavia or if we manage to convince Teller to stay, those would also be statements of intent.
Teller's under contract, so if anyone go, unless the only way that he'll go is if someone wants to buy him. If Burnley want to buy him, then yeah, they're going to have to pay a hefty amount for him now, I think.
Well, Lavi is still under quite a big contract.
Yeah, but he's still got that release clause hanging over him, isn't he? Which is what I don't like, or that buyback clause, rather.
Yeah.
And, you know, why would you not want to go and play for Man City, given the chance? I'd like to think, Kev, that we could keep hold of him for this championship season. And then, you know, we get promoted back to the Premier League and then Saints decide to renew his contract without that buyback clause in it. That's what I like. See, I'm bargaining again.
Yeah, we should get you on the negotiating team.
Yeah, and when we had this fans forum back in February, February 7th that was, the board were quizzed on relegation then. And the thing I remember Martin Semin saying was that if relegation was to happen, then financially we don't need to worry. Funding is not an issue. And that goes right down to the development squads and the women's too. So if we are hitting that reset, money is what we're going to need, right? It's just, do we trust Sport Republic to be in charge of that money? And all major decisions they've made over the past year have been a complete fucking disaster. And do we have any evidence that that will change?
Not yet. It's too early to say anything, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, given what they've done over this past year, I don't see it. And for this to be a successful attempt in the championship, it needs to start with that recruitment in the summer, and notably that the right manager needs to come in. And once again, Kev, the odds of this latest manager have been circling. I don't know if you've seen it, but I took a look today and it doesn't make for happy reading. Steven Gerrard and Wayne Rooney are topping these lists. And
God.
Fucking hell. How badly do Sport Republic want to mess this club up? It's like they're on a bet. Are they secretly trying to ruin us? Maybe that was their agenda all along. I don't know. But Ruben Saez is the third favourite to continue. Are they watching the games? Do they think he has been a success? Like, why is he? I know this is not Sport Republic that are throwing these odds out. These are just the bookies. But they've got to be going on Sport Republic's track record.
Yeah, I mean they were dead right about Nathan Jones quite early on, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah, there must have been some sort of leak there.
So, I mean, they're not basing it on completely zero information.
No, that's true. But, I mean, and there's, you know, I'll go further on down the list here. We've got like Sir Jesse Marsh, which you mentioned. And if they do go for him, then that's like admitting a mistake in itself, isn't it? They've said that, oh, shit, maybe we should have done things better, but now it's our chance to put it right. They shouldn't have let him slip away, really. You got Chris Wilder, you got Frank Lampard. Again, why Lampard? Has he ever done anything in management to suggest that he's a catch? Why are we even entertaining this? Why are we even talking about this?
Promising young Chelsea manager, Frank Lampard.
Oh, Christ, yeah. You got Gary Rowett at Millwall, you got Nuno Espirito Santo. The ones lower down in the list, the ones that I would like, actually, you've got Ivan Juric at Torino, Brendan Rodgers, Graham Potter, Rafa Benitez and Ralph Hasenhüttl. Wow. They're all higher prices, though, obviously. But I remember when Newcastle went down and they still had Rafa Benitez in charge and they went straight back up. So I think we should be setting our sights a little bit higher, though, you know, than people like, well, definitely like Lampard, Gerrard and bloody Rooney. Why not give it to someone like Benitez, Potter or Rodgers? Surely, you know, Rodgers has been up there. Rodgers in the championship would not be such a bad thing.
No.
Surely it's better than you know, the top of this list at the moment. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how they're recruiting their policies are. But why can't we just let, like, democracy reign here? And, like, give us five or six top-notch candidates, right? Give them a couple of weeks to convince us. Let them have a live debate. And let season ticket holders go out and cast the final vote.
That's not going to happen. Managers in such a position of power, they're going to be hopefully clamouring for someone who can really do a good job.
Who? Yeah, but the players, the people that they're mentioning are just, yeah.
It's going to be someone we've never heard of from, like, the Portuguese league or something.
It's a worry. This is something that they need to get right straight away, really. But I just don't have any faith in them. Moving on then, more injury concerns. We've got Amar Bellakotchap, who went off in this Forest game with a hamstring injury. Still awaiting more news on that. He was actually spotted leaving the City Ground on crutches. Oh, God, yeah, more misery. And again, has he played his final game for us?
That's a good question. Again, maybe it might be the injury that saves us.
So, yeah, nobody wants to buy him. But yeah, James Ward-Prowse says in an interview about his future, he was asked whether he can see himself staying, and he replied with, "I'm not looking to any of that. For me, it's about being focused on where we are now and giving my all for the club, which I always have done since I was 8 years old. That doesn't change. What happens beyond that, who knows? I don't know. I'm just focused on doing everything I can in the next three games to give the club a chance of staying in the Premier League." He's got to say that, hasn't he? He knows. I mean, you could see it in his eyes. He was crying. The tears weren't falling, but they were just hanging there after that Forest defeat. He knows it's done. But he's got to say stuff like that, hasn't he? He can't very well come out and say, yeah, I'm off. I need to go and play Premier League football and Saints are relegated.
Yeah, sorry. You've driven me into a bout of depression.
I'm glad I do that to you. That's nice. I hope I'm not doing that to our listeners. Again, moving on. our shirts against Fulham will have Saints Foundation sponsorship on them this coming weekend. No sport bet this week.
Sponsors have abandoned us.
Even they've gone, yeah. And I don't know if you've seen this, Kev, but there were some protest signs left outside Staplewood.
Oh, yeah, with the training tips.
Yeah, attack both bylines, cross back to the penalty spot for Ronu Archie, let the laws of physics take effect. And they had another one saying no long balls needed. Mm. So, yeah, just trying to give a little helping hand to Ruben Sayers there, because God knows he needs it. Okay, right, I'll go on to the loanees then. Most of them are finished now, as you know. Kazim Alegbi at Harrogate Town.
Finished? He's only 21.
He's only 21. Yeah, no, he's not finished. The season's finished for him at Harrogate Town. Yeah, he's had 19 games, 3 goals, 5 assists. Harrogate Town finished 20th in League 2. Caleb Watts Morecambe, he played 27 games, scored 2 goals, 4 assists. And unfortunately, Morecambe were relegated from League 1. They finished 22nd, and obviously Dinah Simeone was part of that as well. Dan and Lindelöf's Bolton, he played 13 games. That's it, he got 1 goal. They finished 5th in League 1, and they are in the playoffs, and they've got Barnsley, I believe, in the first round. We could be playing Bolton next year still, Kev.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Fancy a trip up there. That's a lovely stadium. Keggs Chelke, Exeter. He had 23 games, didn't score. Finished 14th in League 1. Will Smallbone at Stoke, 43 games, 3 goals, 5 assists, and they finished 16th in the Championship. Nathan Teller, of course, 45 games, 19 goals, 5 assists, and they finished as champions. Jack Stevens at Bournemouth, their season is still going on, of course, but he's played 17 times for them. I didn't even realise it was that many. Nico Lawrence, Torquay United, they have been relegated from the National League. And Ryan Finnegan's crew, he played 16 games, he scored 1 goal, 1 assist, and they finished 13th in League One. Okay, Kevin, I've got 3 birthdays for you this week.
Oh, God.
We got Saturday the 6th, Jim Magilton.
He's 56.
Oh, he's 54, just a couple of years out. I would have said around 56, to be honest. Yesterday, Tuesday the 9th, Neil Ruddock.
He's about the same age.
He is about the same age, yeah.
I'll say 56 again.
No, he's 55. You're getting closer. And Wednesday the 10th, we've got Adam Lallana.
Is he 56? No. okay, not 56. Is he 36?
Oh, he's 35 today. Pretty close, Kev. Pretty close.
You're putting on a shirt.
Oh, wow. He's not really doing that these days, is he? He's just sat there.
I mean, he's pulling on a shirt.
Yeah, but it's just not the football.
He's not crossing the line.
yes. Okay. Now we've got the player and goal of the month to award. This doesn't fill me with any joy. You know that. Yeah. So the player nominations, we gave you James Ward-Prowse, Stuart Armstrong, Carlos Alcaraz, and Theo Walcott. Who do you think won, Kevin?
Charlie.
Yeah. 76%. 76%. Goes to Alcaraz.
Yes, no brainer, really, isn't it?
Goal nominations then. We scored 5 goals in the month of April. Even though it was a real shitty month, wasn't it, April? You look back at it, 6 games in April we played, and we fucking lost 5 of them and drew the other one. I mean, yeah, awful. But we scored 5 goals, and we gave you the nominations, Mahrez against City, Alcaraz's gift against Arsenal, Walcott against Arsenal, and Stuart Armstrong's against Newcastle. Kev, what was your favourite out of all of them?
Yeah, for the moment and for the goal, I think it's got to be Charlie Alcaraz, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, that won it at 49%. But I went for Stuart Armstrong because I thought the build-up was good, and we weren't expecting to score. I suppose we weren't really expecting to score against Arsenal, but that went 1-0 as well for Stuart Armstrong, and I thought it was a nice... Because I think Lavia won the ball, didn't he, in the middle of the pitch, and he sprayed it out to Sulemana, who put the cross in, and then, yeah, it was just good football. It was just basic counter-attack, pounce on a mistake, goal.
Yeah.
Made it look easy.
It's always like, it's those moments that we have give us that glimmer of hope that we are not a completely shit team.
But and in the second half starts.
Yeah, the second half starts. And we just, yeah.
Oh, we are a championship side after all, yeah.
I mean, when we play like that, we're not even a championship side.
No, as Grimsby Town will tell us.
Yeah. We've made their season. We've made somebody happy this season.
I think we've made quite a lot of people happy, especially Iwonyi. He's scored 3 goals this season, and all of them against us.
All the teams around us that we've been so generous to.
Yeah. Their first goal for the club. Yeah, what a fucking surprise. anyway, I'm not bitter. B team. Their season's over, of course, but there is a post-season friendly. Who knew? Against Luton Town on Wednesday, the 10th of May. 7 p.m. at Snow Stadium, where they will be lifting and parading their Premier League 2 Division 2 trophy. So get down to the Snows if you can. I'm sure that would be worth the visit to see that alone.
Sounds like a fixture that was organised well in advance.
No. Yes. Under-18s, they played their last match, ended the campaign in style with a 5-1 win at Staplewood over Arsenal. And surprise, surprise, Kev, a hat-trick from Dom Ballard. So, Sam Amo-Amiyar and Jay Robinson with the other goals. They finished 8th, and obviously the women are finished. Match then, Nottingham Forest. We'll just go through this one quickly, Kev, because God knows we all don't want to rehash everything. But yeah, another tough one. It was an open game. They went for it, both sides went for it. Left exposed a lot at the time, but I guess that was because, you know, they were going for it, and you know that's what happens when we open up, then we concede a lot of goals. I thought on the whole we played pretty well, showed a lot of fight and effort, which is something that we haven't done in previous weeks, especially against we showed no fight against Nottingham Forest at home, did we? We showed no fight against Bournemouth at home, but yeah, there was lots to like about the performance, but ultimately we come undone. And I guess if this had been a game that was in like mid-December, we would have been like praising everyone. So, you know, it was a tough one. We lost a tough one. But because of the situation that we're in, and because that's it.
And the situation that Forest are in as well.
And exactly.
We're in a completely different position.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very, very aware of my prediction. And I still stand by that prediction that it was going to be an open, flat, not an open game, sorry, a flat game that nobody wants to make a mistake on, which is why I went for a 0-0, which sounds stupid now. But yeah, exactly. But yeah, and also I just want to say the away fans, I thought, were absolutely fantastic. And I've never been to the City Ground, and that's a ground that, obviously, because they've not been in the Premier League for a while, and I never had a season ticket when they were in the Championship, Saints. But yeah, it's... they were good. They were great. And you could hear them a lot, even when they were 3-1 down and all hope was lost and you thought this is it. They'd get. But then, you know, they still kept going, and that was nice. And yeah, so big up to the Saints fans, for the travelling fans there. That was great.
I've always wondered, like, because the away fans are so loud and so positive, where do they sit at St Mary's? Because it's never like that.
They're all in the Northam and the Itchen North.
Yeah. Probably, but I mean, even then, this season it's not been pretty. What's the word?
A library.
Quiet. Yeah, there's just nothing to sing about. Yeah, I mean, just about where you sit, because I sat a few rows behind you in that Bournemouth match, and there were a couple of people who were genuinely suffering, going, just repeating the same things again and again. Why are we so shit? Why are we passing to midgets?
Yeah, it has been it's been a different atmosphere this season. It has been. I mean, the Nathan Jones era was terrible. To be around that and to hear, you know, see the fans march over to the dugout and be subdued by the stewards, it wasn't a friendly atmosphere this whole season. And you know, the booing of our own players is just, I never liked that. No, it's not going to help, is it? So yeah, it has been a very, very difficult season, and people have been suffering with it. And yeah, and this was this was different. You know, maybe it's because the fans have accepted it as well now. It's like when we go to Brighton in a couple of weeks' time, Kev. It's just going to be a party. We know we'll know the fate by then. Well, we pretty much already do. It's just like, let's just go out there and give them a good old send off. We got to enjoy these players while we can now, and just give them everything we've got, because I'm still going to give it everything.
Yeah, in the moment we're mathematically relegated, which is going to be very soon. I think the pressure's probably going to be off, and then they'll start playing really well.
You said to me the other day that they'll win the remaining.
We'll beat Liverpool.
We'll beat Fulham. We'll beat Brighton. We'll beat Liverpool. That'll be it. It's over. You still think we're going to beat Liverpool? Yeah. Anyway, yeah, there was three changes, Kev, from the Newcastle defeat. We had Ainsley Maitland-Niles, Theo Walcott, and Adams starting. Okay, I was quite happy with that 11. I mean, it was good to see Che Adams and Stuart Armstrong get the start, and it was good to see them use like the right personnel and the right formation to actually give it a go.
Actually, play a recognised striker. Yeah, that's always a good thing, isn't it?
I do want to talk about one thing with you, because I've deliberately stayed away from social media on this, because I want to discuss it with you over this. The penalty that Nottingham Forest got, what did you make of the penalty?
I thought it was really weak, because it's Maitland-Niles, isn't it?
Maitland-Niles gives the penalty away.
Yeah. He goes for the ball, and it's just Johnson. Gets stuck in the moment he's going for the ball. It's not his fault at all.
No, exactly. You could see he didn't even know he was there. His eyes were on. He was looking up the field to try and get the ball up there. Brennan Johnson's just put his body in the way and taken the contact and gone down. That, I don't think that's a penalty. I know people would argue that he's kicked him, but he didn't know anything about it. I don't think you can give that. But did they even look at that on VAR?
Or just like it's not a clear and obvious error.
No. I don't know. I just thought it was a bit harsh, and I don't think it should have been a penalty. But
yeah, I mean, it's terrible that we would have gone into half time with, you know, half a chance in the game, still one goal behind. And that really, 3-1 at half time, I think we're dead and buried pretty much.
We weren't, though. We came out the second half and we had a go. It was like, I was like, maybe Sayers has just grabbed them all by the scruff and just said, look, come on, guys, nothing to lose. Let's just like go out. This is it.
That Turkish manager in the viral video just come around and slapped them all around the face.
Yeah. And we saw Lianco come on for Bella Kotchap. Yeah, very very active display from Lianco. He made himself a nuisance in both boxes as well. And he got a goal for himself, you know, he was getting into all the right places for Ward-Prowse crosses, and he was just rushing as well, going around. I love to see it. I do love Lianco. He is a character, isn't he? We all know that. And it would just be, yeah, he could be quite infamous in that league, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, just the positivity he brings. I mean, it's just worth it just for that.
Yes. Ainsley Maitland-Niles, Kev, I thought he had a poor game. I thought he showed he really struggled. I mean, he gave a penalty away. Okay, it wasn't my opinion, but he gave three kicks away. Handball as well. Gave the ball away far too many times, and it was just wasteful. And even when we were looking good, and it was like the pace was up, the tempo was going, we were all moving forward. Ainsley Maitland-Niles got the ball, and he tried to play long ones, and it just went off. Just like, oh, my God, you're killing us.
He's not a fullback, is he?
No. Well, he's supposedly. But, I mean, what is he? Where is his best position?
On the bench.
yeah, he had a tough night against Brennan Johnson, as did Bella Kotchap.
Those first two goals, that's the one you hope you would miss. But I was trying to do a pun there. That's the one you would want him to miss. You would want to fucking hell. That's tenuous, isn't it? But it somehow worked in my head.
Oh, God. Kev, do you have any stats from this game? I don't really want to rehash all the goals here, to be honest. It's
Just a regular. We had 19 shots to their 9.
Yeah, 19 shots. See, this is goes to show that we did play well, and we probably didn't deserve to lose that. Well, we definitely didn't deserve to go in at the half 3-1 down. It's
Yeah, Che Adams got 5 shots, but none of them were on target.
Yeah, I know he had the first one, didn't he? I remember that. I was thinking, ooh, we got a shot.
That's a decent chance as well.
Yeah. He made it. He put it straight over the bar, though, didn't he? But yeah. Yeah, 19 shots. And how many of them were on target, Kev, out of the 19?
5
out of the 19.
And one of those is penalty.
No, that's pretty poor, isn't it? Well, at least the penalty went on target anyway. It could have been worse. And what about Forest? They had 9 shots, didn't they?
Yeah, 4 of those were on target.
There's much better accuracy.
They get one of them sub penalty as well.
Of course, yeah. 64% possession to the Saints.
Yeah, I suppose that's one impressive thing that we kept possession and actually did something with it at some points, but yeah, just wasn't to be enough. A defensive lapses.
Always the way, isn't it?
Yeah, McCarthy could have done better, but I don't.
I just feel with Saints that we need about 5 or 6 chances to get a goal. And we press, we go for it, we miss the chance, and then we're all over a team, and then all of a sudden we make one mistake and they capitalise on it. We're just not clinical enough at the right time, are we? Because when we went 1-0 down, it was totally against the run of play. Then we went 2-0 down pretty much straight afterwards, and it was like, well, what is going on here? We don't deserve this.
But, I mean, we did that to Arsenal and they came back. So
yeah, but this is Arsenal. They're going for the league.
Well, we're going for the league as well. Stay in it.
Yeah, OK. Well, they got Arteta. It makes no difference. Kev, the XG. Do you know what the XG was?
No, I don't.
Oh, OK. So Nottingham Forest, right? I'll give you Nottingham Forest and you tell me what Saints were, considering we had 19 shots, right, and 5 of them on target. So Nottingham Forest had an XG of 1.8 and they scored 4.
OK.
What was Saints?
It's going to be similar. I'm going to say about 1.7.
This may surprise you, Kev, but our XG was 3.1.
What?
Yeah, 3.1. I don't ever remember it being above 2 for a long, long time. Probably when we beat Newport 8-0 last season.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3.1, our XG.
We still fucked it up.
And we still fucked it up. We still conceded 4 goals to a team that's one place above us.
Mm.
That's why we're bottom of the league. And Ruben Sayer says the reflection is frustrating because I think we made a good performance, but we gave it away ourselves. Unfortunately, the feeling is familiar. We have other games that we did the same. It's not that any opponent just play against us and outplay us. It's just in key moments of the game, we concede some goals. And then it's very difficult. I agree with that. I completely agree with that. It's what I just said. It's those moments. I think we had the game in the beginning. We can score that first goal, but we didn't. And then it's always difficult to come back. I think that's pretty accurate, to be honest.
Can't disagree with that.
Okay. Man of the match, Kevin.
Oh, Christ. When in doubt, give us privacy. We're not going to get a chance to do it again, are we? So.
Well, 3 more games. I think there was a few. Stuart Armstrong, he looked good. I always love giving it to Stu. Made that assist as well for Alcaraz. Lovely little disguised pass that was. That was brilliant. We didn't really talk about that. Yeah, Ward-Prowse was great. He was just his usual self. He was giving it his all as well, which is nice to see. And Alcaraz, you got to love. Constantly screaming for the ball, which is something. Yeah, he's a fan favourite, isn't he, Alcaraz? But I'm going to give it to Lianco, Kev, because I want to. And because... I've never given it to Lianco before. I think he just made an action-packed game even more action-packed, if you know what I mean. I think he was very active and he wanted to get on with everything. He was very energetic. He got into some great positions for Prowsey deliveries and he scored. So, I'm going to give it to Lianco.
Oh, fair thanks.
Right then, Kev, we've got, Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff. The last of the season is against Fulham, since St. Mary's. They've been up and down recently, haven't they, Fulham? It's, I thought they were just like cruising through the rest of the season like we were last year once safety was there. I know they were never even toying with relegation, but it just seemed like they've been just, you know, cruising out the rest of the season. They seemed to have peaked, didn't they? And then that was it. They fizzled out. They've lost a few lately, but they're also winning some. They had a 5-3 win over Leicester on Monday. What's with all these goals going on that Monday night? It was mental because, of course, Everton banged in 5 as well. There was 7 goals in our game. Yeah, a lot of games on that Monday night. I don't know. They've lost some games that they probably shouldn't have. They had Bournemouth and West Ham recently. But so if we go back, so they beat Leeds 2-1. Then they lost at Villa. They lost to Man City. They lost at Liverpool. Okay, you expect to lose those games. And that 5-3 win over Leicester. Again, it's difficult to know where they actually are because, you know, their season's done, isn't it? They're not playing for anything now. But what I want to know is, Kev, what do you want to see happen on Saturday? What do you want from the team?
Just a bit of effort, be nice, and less defensive frailty.
Yeah, you want to see a win, right? We want to go out in style. Go out in style. We're down, right? We know it. So let's just go out and just give it a go. Just play. Just give the fans something to cheer about, especially at home. We were just mentioning how the St Mary's seems like a library these days, and we just, you know, you're one of your last chances to actually, you know, make this season better. Let's just go out and give it a go.
That would be nice.
But I can't see it happening again, I'm afraid. I just think home, we're cursed this season. I don't think we're meant to. I just think that Fulham are going to have too much for us, and they're going to win 2-1.
Okay.
Come to you, big man.
Well, yeah, I think we're going to get something out of it that's just not going to be enough. I think it's going to be a draw. I'm not going to keep a clean sheet, so let's say it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
Okay. You're the only one so far, Kevin, to go for a draw. Tim's gone for a 2-1 Fulham win like me. Everybody's going for a Fulham 1 on the... Oh, actually, Stufa from the Discord has gone for a 2-2 draw. And also, Kevin McGee is going for a Saints win. That's nice.
I always love his positivity.
Yeah, that's why he's bottom of the league.
No. That's the
Yeah, he's not bottom of the league, by the way. He's ahead of me, I think, now, or close to it. I don't know. But yeah, speaking of the Discord, yeah, lots of people going for a Forest win, obviously. No one saying a 4-3, however. Would have been fishy if you did. But yeah, I could, as I said, I couldn't have been further away with my bold 0-0, could I? But hey, there we go. I don't think I'm going to be winning the Discord league this year. I'm too far down now. I might as well go against the grain, actually, and just go against what everyone else is saying just to
win. Else.
Yeah, I could do, but I'm not. I'm just going to keep it as is. Super 6, round 54 was won by Tom Hennigan on 14. The overall lead is with Gavin Burgess on 472. Kev, tell me about fantasy football. Actually, don't. I don't want to know.
Where am I in the Discord league? I'm near the top, aren't I?
I don't know. I posted the league table and the predictions.
Yeah, I see. I'm on 48.
Yeah, you're still up there to win, actually, aren't you?
Yeah, a couple of one spot on result, and I'll be right in the mix.
Exactly. But then you got to hope that Frederick Lazaro slips up.
Opposite to him.
Yeah, see, I'm not going to move up because there's quite a lot of people that are going for 2-1 Fulhams. Frederick Lazaro, by the way, has gone for a 3-0 Fulham win.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds very plausible. Sorry, you did ask for it. Let's look at fantasy football. I had a poor week.
Oh, good.
This week. Yeah. Haaland didn't do anything for me, and my best scoring player, Parasi, was on the bench because yeah. I think the week before was a weird one. I got 62 points, but the average was 82.
Oh wow, that's because it was double game week, wasn't it?
Yeah, I obviously didn't play mine to the max. Looking at our leagues, Tim's still doing the best out of us three. Same top three. Oliver Boast, Harry Tizard, Tim Zants. That's probably the way it's going to finish.
I had a terrible week. I got 27 points. Just awful. And I slipped to the bottom of the league.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Just awful. I'm 4 points off of ninth place. How tragic is that?
Yeah. Almost as tragic as Saints' position.
Yeah, I've just had a tough week. Really, really tough week. I just want this one over with.
Yeah, it's the same in the big league. Marlon Leaning-Allen, Chris Ambridge, and Lucy Hine that ran off the top three. I think I'm still in the top 50, 42.
Kev, where am I?
Derby.
You got that right without any clues. Right, anyway, yeah, clue number one for 5 points. This stadium is located 206 miles from St. Mary's.
Okay, again, it's in that regular belt again.
Well, it kind of has to be, doesn't it? Because I was thinking, I need to go and do ones that I haven't done before. I can't do Norwich or Ipswich. I can't do bloody Plymouth. There's so many that I can't do because it's going to be too easy.
Mm.
I can't do Bournemouth or Brighton for the same reasons. So, yeah.
Are you at Hillsborough?
I'm not. Clue two for 4 points. 5 miles from Old Trafford.
Is the Etihad that far from... I thought it was closer, but they're quite close. What other Manchester clubs are there? So, again, Salford's going to be even closer, isn't it? Bolton?
No, it's not. Clue three for 3 points. In the county of Greater Manchester.
Yeah, that doesn't tell me much, does it?
Of course it does.
Oldham?
Just so you know, Oldham aren't even in League Two anymore, mate. They're in the National League. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's unfortunate. Ex-Premier League side again.
Yeah. Okay, clue four for 2 points. Currently competing in League Two.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's all good then.
Yes, it is Salford. Just so you know, Salford and Man City are around the same sort of way. It's about an hour and a half walk away, I guess, from both of them. Salford's like north of Old Trafford, isn't it? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Salford City, yeah. Clue five for 1 point anyway. In the city of Salford, with joint ownership of Gary and Phil Neville, Nicky Butt, Paul Scholes, Ryan Giggs and David Beckham. Yes, it is Salford City. What's the name of the stadium, Kev?
It's got to be the Salford City Community Stadium or something like that, isn't it?
It's not. It's the Peninsula Stadium.
What fucking peninsula are they on?
It must be a sponsor, right? Because it isn't a peninsula, is it? It's like right in the middle of the city. So, yeah, I don't know. Yes, anyway, that's it. Kevin, this week has been a fucking disaster. I mean, Saints falling out of the Premier League. My fantasy football team, my predictions, my Rangers are out of the playoffs in the first round. The Knicks are facing elimination from the NBA playoffs. Please let this week be kinder to me.
At least you're in good health.
Oh, yes. Anyway, next week we'll go through the Fulham game and we'll preview our last away trip of the season up at the Amex where we face Brighton. So until then, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Open at Southampton.
Sports Social Podcast Network. It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash. Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.